Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and what a beautiful morning. As always, God has made. It is always good to be in the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and to the standing between the living and the dead service, / the rescue, the perishing, care for the dying service, family members. Beloved, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 373, if you will, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint, this unique arrangement, allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today, beloved, we're reading 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. On this morning, and Holy Father God, Lord, help everyone here to pray. To pray for themselves, to pray for me, to pray for others, to pray for the gospel to flow freely and powerfully. To confess their sins and to repent of their sins, that they grieve not your Holy Spirit, that they quench not your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you this morning for your love, your mercy, and your grace. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sitting at your right hand interceding for us. I praise you and I thank you for the person and the gift of your Holy Spirit who resides in us who are saved. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Word. Lord, help all of the saved people to pray, lost people, tares in the church will probably not pray. But Lord, those who are saved, Lord, help them to pray and to pray what they mean and mean what they pray. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you. As others join in around the world, we do pray. And we thank you, Lord, for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have indeed bestowed upon us. and Holy Father God down through the years. Thank you for, as the old saints used to say, for bringing us a mighty long way, and we've come this far by faith, and we're not going to turn around now. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for the millions, the many, and the manifold blessings that you have indeed bestowed upon us. And down through the years. And Holy Father God, we individually and hopefully collectively, Lord, confess our sins, our failures, and our faults as we, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us in any way. Wash and cleanse our hearts and our minds, our souls and our spirits, our consciences in the holy and precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, afresh and anew. Make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow. Lord, for each and every one of us, none of us wake up always fired up and ready to go and energetic. It takes some time with you to get us to where we need to be. So Lord, help your saved saints to pray earnestly, to just pray simple prayers. Lord, help them to confess their sins. Lord, help them to examine themselves with you and by the power and moving of your Holy Spirit to see whether or not they are even saved. Help them, Lord, to confess their own sins, such sins as bad attitudes and bad spirits, allowing themselves to be possessed and controlled and oppressed by the devil. Help them, Lord, to check themselves, that they resist the devil, that he would flee from them. Help them, Lord, to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Help all of your saved saints, Lord, to watch and pray, that they enter not into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Holy Father God, cast out the devil and the demons of hell, the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, out of the lives of the people here who have that problem, and out of the lives of people out there who name the name of Christ in their families, who have that problem. And give us, Lord, sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil this morning and throughout this day. And Lord God in heaven, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please rebuke and bind the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias from the hearts and minds and lives of these people here, especially those who have that problem, those who are vulnerable because they don't know how to resist the devil, that he would flee from them. Lord, I pray that at least starting at this point, no one will be a doorway for the devil to try to hinder your gospel from going forward. For that is the main reason why the devil fights us. He is angry with me because of the strategy that you gave me, that I have implemented every which way and by any means necessary, getting the gospel to people in multiple ways and multiple fashions. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for that strategy. It is similar to the Blitzkrieg strategy, but different. And It's not just on one front, it's on multiple fronts. And this scatters the enemy, and the devil can't stand it. And Lord, I thank you for the freedom to tell the truth and shame the devil. And so, Holy Father God, give us your special protection. Surround us with your protection. A band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ. And Lord, place upon us the whole armor of God. And Lord, surround us with a band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Help us to think like we are in warfare. Many Christians do not want to think that way. But we need to think that way because we are in spiritual, very dangerous warfare. And so many have lost their lives, and so many have lost their lives spiritually. So many have lost their lives physically for not following your holy word, which is the ultimate strategy against the devil and his angels, his demons rather. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray that, Lord, you would indeed help us all to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Help us all right now to resist every evil thought, every evil imagination, anything that is of the devil. For when we resist those things, we actually resist the devil. When he is striving to tempt us to do evil, and we say no by your grace, and we quote your holy word, when we are tempted to do wrong, and we say no, devil, I'm not going to do that because God says, as you taught us, Lord. And I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would save the terrorists in the church, the terrorists, and revive the truly saved. Crucify, Lord, our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh within us, the old man within us, and fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin throughout this morning, throughout this day. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. And for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you will help us all who name the name of Christ and who are truly saved. Help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked, evil ways, to repent of our wicked, evil sins, to do an about-face on our wicked attitudes and spirits, acting like we cannot control our behavior, acting like we cannot control our moods, acting like we cannot control our attitudes. If we are saved, we can. In fact, you will help if the people would allow you to do so. You will help them by doing it yourself through them if they are willing to confess their sins and repent. There is no excuse, Lord, for Christians to be sad and somber and defeated and mean and hateful and uncheerful and unjoyful, for you have made it clear that in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that indeed, Lord, you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, heal those who are sick, comfort those who are grieving around the world, in this country, in our communities, and in our churches, and in our families, and in our own personal lives. Holy Father God, I pray for all of my children, and I pray for all of the children of the saints around the world, that you will protect them from themselves. Protect them, Lord, from evil people all around them, even in the church and in the world. Surround them with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. And Lord, cover them and cleanse them through the precious blood of Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would protect them from the demonic gangster sodomite movement in this world that are recruiting young people in the church on purpose. As you have led me to say many, many times, that the sodomite community is very evangelistic for the devil. So Lord, open the eyes of the blind of all of our young people to not be deceived by their money and their gold and their houses and their cars. And Lord, I pray that you will give them victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, help them to examine themselves and make sure that they're saved. And Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, today that you will deliver all of us who name the name of Christ, if we are willing to confess our sins and repent and do right by you. Deliver us of all of our distress and afflictions, cares and worries and anxieties, troubles, problems, and fears from our hearts and minds, souls, and spirits. Fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, and your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart. And Lord, help us always to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you. Keep us therefore in perfect peace. And Holy Father God, I pray that those of us who are willing to confess our sins and repent and do right by you, Lord, help us and deliver us from all of our tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations and tests and tensions. And Lord, also, if we are willing, those of us who are saved and are willing to confess our sins and repent of our sins, turn from our sins and do right by you, Lord, we pray for that you will grant us spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, financial deliverance and student loan debt, student progress. Deliver us from those problems on an individual basis in all of our families that name the name of Christ. And at the same time, Lord, we pray for not only Christians but all people. Lord, even though we deserve hell, Lord, continue to show mercy in the midst of chastisement and rebuke and wrath. And deliver people and help people by the millions to avoid a housing crisis, a food crisis, a medical crisis, and a utilities crisis. And Holy Father God, let your will be done. Continue to be thorough with us. Break us and make us and mold us to be what you would have us to be. And help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would protect us, protect my family and all other Christian families that stand for you in the world and who name the name of Christ in sincerity. Protect us, Lord, from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil. and the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, evil people in the world. And Holy Father God, place upon us the whole arm of God, surround us with the band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. And Lord, cover us and cleanse us and protect us in the precious blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the privilege once again to pray this prayer and to pray this morning prayer inside the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service / the Rescue the Perishing and Care for the Dying service. We pray that as, Lord, I do pray that you will grant me your energy, your strength, and your might, your unction and your anointing, your freedom and your liberty, and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your holy word with great understanding and comprehension and moving of your Holy Ghost. It is, Lord, the most wonderful time of my day, praying to you and reading your holy word. And I hope that is the case for others, Lord. And I do pray that you will indeed grant me your energy, your strength, your anointing, your unction, your might, your power, the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy gospel and to teach your holy word. And thank you so much for the ground that we cover in this magnificent service that you created. Something, Lord, as you know, I would have never done, especially after preaching the gospel for over 4 years, nearly every day. But you gave me this assignment, and you gave me the strength to do it. And now we're over 560 days, I do believe, of conducting this service, which is an extension of the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor. Lord, give me great liberty, freedom, exactitude and expression, fullness and unction and anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his holy name we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, or rather, women and wild men. How about that? Some of you men are too gentle. And some of you women are not acting like ladies yet. Even though you want people to call you First Lady and Second Lady and Lady this and so forth and so on. Anyway, dear friends, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, Thus Saith the Lord. The Word of God, the Holy Bible, at 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. Pardon me. And the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, Now, the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them. And Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, The man that consumed us, and that devised against us, that we should be, pardon me, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel. Let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aya, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aya, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aya, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them, when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried they in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the sepulchre of Kish his father, and they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. My. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for your holy word. It is the most amazing book in the history of the world. There's nothing like it. And I also thank you once again for giving me a heart to love it. For Lord, you know from where I come from in my life, that is not me. I have nothing to do with what you have done in my heart towards your holy word. But I just give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for putting that hunger and that desire in my heart, even after 42 years of preaching your holy word, to read your holy word and to learn more and more details, as I did in this chapter, about your holy word and all that you have done in the world for our good. And Lord, I pray that you'll do the same work in the hearts of all of the people here and out there listening in and watching live and on demand. Most of all, I do pray that you will save their souls and change their lives through your holy gospel and your holy word. Fill us all with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to meditate on your holy word throughout this day. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the title of this message is How to Understand the Bible, if you will. How to understand the Bible and what you have to do to understand the Bible. When I was a teenager, a young teenager, 12, 13, 14, somewhere along in there, maybe 11, I wanted to get wisdom. I wanted to get knowledge. And it was not rooted in any hunger for God, a hunger for being obedient to God and to Jesus. As I look back on it, it was a pride thing. You know, many of us gain knowledge and get degrees for prideful reasons, as it was in the days of Adam and Eve, when Eve went to the university of the serpent and tried to get knowledge and understanding and wisdom for pride purposes, to show off. And I believe that was my motive at the time. So I set out to read the big Bible, the big family Bible that almost all black families had in their house. Nobody read it in most cases. It caught dust. We were not to touch it, and we certainly were not to put anything on it. No. Now you can't. You couldn't do that. Now, even though some of our folks, our family members back in the day were ignorant of the Bible, and some couldn't even read it, somehow, some way, God, they allowed God to teach them some things. And quite frankly, they were more spiritual than most of the so-called educated Christians of the day. And these are they, by the way, who led the way on up to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was a Moses in our time, to open up doors for black people in this country. They knew how to pray. They were real Christians back in those days. They may not have had the education you people have, but they had more sense than you people have. And that's a fact. And God gave it to them. My dad, all he had was an eighth grade education. But he turned out to be one of the most popular preachers in North Carolina. One of the first black men to be on television with a gospel program. And he had nothing. He just listened to Billy Graham and got saved, and God turned his life around and used him mightily with that eighth grade education. And you will never find a more loving man than my dad. He had the love of Christ in him. And I believe this is original with him. He used to say, love is what it is. Love is what it is. And he's right about that. But anyway, all black families, almost all black families, had this big old Bible. Huge. Bigger than this pulpit. And I sat down to read it. I wanted to know what was in it. And I couldn't get past Genesis chapter 2. It bored me to tears. I could get into a little bit, God created the heavens and earth. I had no problem with that. I said, all right. I said, wow. Okay. But I kept on reading, and it started getting into names I could not pronounce or understand. And so I would quit reading the Bible. I tried several times. Back in those days, we were told not to read Revelation. You know, pastors didn't even preach on the book of Revelation. I do remember when I first started preaching, because see, back in those days, when I first started preaching 42 years ago, the title was everything. And I said, well, I'm going to preach out of the book of Revelation. And I read a passage totally out of context, because I was ignorant, totally out of context, but my title was Standing on Shaking Ground. I read something about the, you know, major earthquake in the book of Revelation, and I read back and preached Standing on Shaky Ground. It had nothing to do with the text. It was all it was all about the title. Back in those days when I was a young preacher, but all of us young preachers, man, we had some titles. And I read back one day and preached Standing on Shaky Ground, and I thought I was doing something. I found out later in life, by the grace of God, because evidently that was God. I didn't know it then. God was working on me then. See, let me just tell you something, dear friend. God is working on you right now. Did you know that the reason why you're hearing this message this morning, and this and you're here for this divine appointment? You may have other things to do, but you can't turn away. Is because God has you here. You didn't intend on being here, but God has you here by divine appointment. Someone said many years ago that God works in mysterious ways. You could bank on that. His ways are not our ways. And God is working on you. Some of you young people, God is working on you. Why do you have an interest and you go and sneak and read the Bible? I know of a great man of God, a great pastor. He was raised basically in an atheist home, agnostic home at least, at best. And he turned out, they didn't go to church or nothing. And he was raised to be an atheist. And no God, no prayer, no Bible devotions, reading the Bible, no going to church. And he turned out to be one of the greatest, most insightful preachers and writers that, a person who wrote in defense of the faith of Jesus Christ. And I read him as a young Christian. He helped me in my faith. And he made it very clear that looking at his young life, there was no way that he would ever become a Christian. You may be seeing yourself that way. But God has you here for a reason, my friend. And not only that, in my case, that little hunger there for the Bible and so forth, and for whatever the motive was, God had a purpose in it. And then for some reason throughout my young life, I didn't do it every day, but I do remember those days for some reason, even though I was an irreligious person for sure. I hated the church. I hated my dad, who was the most loving man I've ever seen or met in my life. In fact, he loved us too much to a fault, letting us get away with things we should not have gotten away with, because he never had a father to teach him. He did the best he could, but love was the thing for him, and he loved you now. And you can mess up. Even as an adult, he'll try to take the blame for it. I had to stop him from doing that. I had to lovingly say, nope. Now, Dad, that's just too far. I'm a grown man, and I did that. You didn't do that. He said, I know, son, but, you know. And I said, Papa, I said, Dad, I know. It's not your fault. In fact, I apologize to you for doing wrong. And, but for some reason, even though the churches, we were in the church all of the time, even though we were religious and church-going people, nobody shared the gospel with me in the church. My parents didn't, because at that time, I believe they were lost. They were just religious. I believe millions of people have gone to hell being raised in church, religious, but lost, not knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so, if I had died before December the 19th, 1979, I would have gone straight to hell. That's a fact. But you know what God is doing for you? Same thing He did for me. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God began working on me way back yonder when he put that interest in my heart to read the Bible. And then he began working on me, even though there was no encouragement to this. My parents never told me to pray or anything like that. But I knew what they had was not it. What the folks at the church, down at Mount Shiloh Baptist Church, down at the Disciples of Christ Church, down at the United Pentecostal Holiness Church, Incorporated, down at the Pillar and Ground of the Truth, they didn't have the gospel. They didn't understand it. I know they didn't understand it at the Pillar Ground Church over in New Bern, North Carolina, because they put me on the mourner's bench. Now, this is back in the 70s, where you had to go down every night and call on Jesus. Just say, I even hate to even try to show you, because it's taking God's name in vain. You don't repeat Jesus' name 10,000 times and think you're going to get saved. And that's what they had me doing. That's what they had us doing. I know my parents and other people don't like me telling y'all the truth. Some of you have been on the mourner's bench. And I went down on the mourner's bench as a wicked, evil, fornicating sinner. And I rose as a wicked, evil, fornicating sinner from the mourner's bench. You say, what happened? Well, I got tired of that lady coming in my ear, spitting in my ear. I say, Jesus, say Jesus, say Jesus. Just call his name, say Jesus. See, and Jesus told us not to do that. He commanded us not to do that kind of praying where you repeat the same thing over and over again like we're some Catholics or something. You don't do that. And they had their crew come behind you in the long dresses. Say Jesus, say Jesus, say Jesus, say Jesus, say Jesus, say it, son, say it, son. And you're going to get up and you're going to shout and you're going to speak in tongues or something like that. That's what he told me. And I saw one or two get relieved from all of that by jumping up and shouting. And I said, well, I guess I better shout. And I shouted backwards. So you knew I was messed up from the get-go. I shouted backwards right on outside the back door, kicking my leg up. Didn't mean anything. I got baptized at the age of 12 at the, it's called the Love Center now. It was a holiness church down in Apalachicola, Florida. I got baptized there. Amazingly, they had a baptismal pool underneath the pulpit. I never knew it until I said, where did this come from? And so I got baptized at the age of 12, went down a wet, evil sinner, and came up a wet, evil sinner. Just as devilish. Didn't mean anything. It wasn't until I left home, I was a grown man. My main purpose in life, my job in life, was to party hard, to jam, boogie, boogie, and to run women. That if you weren't doing that, you could not be with me. That's what I was about. All day, all night long. I had right out of high school, they wanted to make me a manager of a restaurant, a trainer of people to manage the restaurants in this particular chain, which is still pretty popular today. Right out of high school, they were paying me well, putting me up in hotels. As a young man, I was young. I mean, a teenager. I left in my red Mustang and white interior and just drove all over North Carolina training people to work where? To work in a Sonic. It was pretty new at the time, but they were building stores left and right. And I was a great, one of the great workers, they said. And so they gave me a trainer job to train people how to run Sonics at that age. And I was out and about, man, we work hard all day long. Guess what? Party all night. It's back in the 70s. Party all night long. Try to come and get 2 hours sleep. And right back at work, training folk, and then at night, train all to work all day long, till the store closed, and then go out to party. That's what I was doing. That's what I was about. Yes, sir, buddy. And I was lost and on my way to hell, And a few times I almost died as a young man. Should have been dead and in hell or dead and in jail. And then somehow God put in my heart going to the Air Force. I don't know where that came from. I never thought of that in my life. Found out later my dad was in the Air Force. He went into the Air Force. And while I was in the Air Force station at Keesler Air Force Base in Ocean Springs, Biloxi, Mississippi, of all places, in my dorm room, pretty new dorm room called Locker House. And it was named after a man named Locker. In room 316. To make a long story short, I was at the NCO club. That's what I was about. And I lived for the weekend and lived for every day. And you found me at the NCO club. Jam, jam, boogie, boogie, let the good time roll. And then one night I saw a young man with a big old Bible walking past me. I was on the phone with one of my girlfriends and getting things set up. And he was going past real fast. I said, hey, hold up, man. Where you going with that big old Bible? He said, I got to go talk to somebody about the Lord. Give me your room number. I'll come and talk to you too. I said, what? Yeah, in fact, he said, listen, why don't you go to church with me on Sunday? I said, okay. He came by and picked me up. Had a little Chevy, something, another. And I wasn't the only one. There was some other folk he was rounding up. And we went to church, and I heard preaching like I'd never heard it before from an independent, Bible-believing Baptist preacher. He did not hoop. He did not take the mic and run across the church, none of that. There was no shouting and running or nothing. It was plain old straight preaching. He preached hell hot and heaven sweet, and Jesus saves. And for some reason, I didn't get saved that morning. And then Michael Lewis came back a few days later, December the 19th in 1979, and showed me from the Bible what I'm showing you right now, how to get saved from hell. And my life has never been the same. I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time, having heard about him all of my life, but not in this way. And I didn't know it was so simple to get saved. I thought you had to be a church member. The women had to wear long dresses, and everybody had to shout and speak in tongues, and then the people would gossip about you after church on how you shouted and how you fell out, and the nurses had to come and cover you up and all of this kind of thing. So here's how to read, to learn how to read the Bible. Here's how to understand the Bible. Here's how to be saved so that you can understand it. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. And God takes this extremely seriously. It's not a light thing with God. Just because God had Jesus Christ to come and die for our sins and was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God, and it was some 2,000 years ago, he does not take sin lightly. Period. He can't. It's not in his nature to do that. He cannot do that. Please understand that. He can't do that. We have disobeyed God's commandments. God created us from nothing, put us on this beautiful planet, made the earth for us to enjoy, and then he gave us just a few rules to go by. not to hinder our joy, or hinder our fun, huh? But for our good, so that we could have real fun without guilt. God is not opposed to fun. He put us here to have fun, but you must obey Him to have fun. Otherwise, your life is going to be miserable and messed up. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Sin, what is sin? We have disobeyed the commandments of God. We have disobeyed our own consciences. We have disobeyed the instincts that God gave us to do what is right. We have disobeyed common sense. And see, God gives us all of that. He's the one who put that in us. But ultimately, we have disobeyed His word. We have disobeyed His commandments. Therefore, we have sinned against God. And sin is an awful thing. The reason why sin is bad is because it will destroy your life and the lives of others. Have you ever committed a sin against God? Have you ever disobeyed the commandments of God, such as, have you ever lied? Huh? Some of you have lied so much you believe the lie yourself. And some of you are perpetuating lies. You lied years ago and you are still living a lie. Some of you tell lies when you think you're not telling lies. Leaving out information is a lie too. Well, I didn't say the lie. Well, you're giving the impression that something is what it is and it is not. Therefore, it is a lie. Have you ever stolen anything? Tell the truth and shame the devil. I don't care if it's a black government pen. They told you to keep it at the office. But you took you three or four when they put out the box and took some home, and you got some stolen government merchandise in your drawer right now. Have you ever stolen from the American government by not paying your just taxes? Have you ever lusted after a beautiful woman? Gentlemen, hopefully gentlemen only. Have you ever lusted after a man, women, hopefully just women? But even if you are a man and you have this thing going on inside of you where you lust after another man, that's a sin too. And it's beyond a sin, it is an abomination against God. It's disgusting to God, and it is disgusting to most people, whether you like it or not. Have you ever dishonored or disrespected or disobeyed your parents? Like I told you, I hated my dad for no reason. The man never even chastised me. He should have B times. He should have thousands of times. I should have received thousands of licks from his hand with a rod of correction. That's a fact. And I regret he didn't do so. You say, well, what are you talking about? I regret it because my life would have been better if he had done so. And some other people's lives would have been better if he had done so. Love is what it is. It's his quote, as I told you. But love also rebukes and chastises, which he did not realize. He didn't know. Nobody ever taught him that. His father died when he was a very little boy. Have you ever dishonored God by taking His holy name in vain? Cursing with His name? I used to curse like that. Didn't know I was doing wrong. Well, no, we did. We knew we were wrong. Me and my gang. Because we started a thing called bad language. If you cursed, we had the right to hit you in your chest. We played that game for some reason. We were just as wicked and evil and fornicators and everything else and stealing and robbing and doing things our parents didn't want us to do. But for some reason, we started that game called bad language. I don't know why we did that to save my life, but we did. And all of us, we cursed like sailors. But we played, I guess it was an attempt to try to stop us from cursing. And so anytime you cursed, man, you got hit in your chest. And you didn't want Tony Reels to hit you because he was Superman. All steel. You didn't want him to hit you. I learned that. Because you're going to back up. Ain't going to be no fun in game, Jack. Not when Tony Reels hit you. And also, even on the football field, you didn't want to be hit by Tony Reels in no way, shape, form, or fashion. So we did know we were wrong. In our conscience, we knew we were wrong. Common sense told us we were wrong. Our instincts told us we were wrong. But have you ever cursed using God's name? Have you ever sworn and put your hand on the Bible and say you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? That's a lie. You're using God's good name to make people believe your lie. Have you ever affirmed something you knew you were lying? You're using God's name in vain. You put God, say, God knows I didn't do it. Jesus knows I didn't do it. And some of you say other things you should not say when you're lying. So you're guilty of lying. You're guilty of stealing. You're guilty of using God's name in vain. You are guilty of dishonoring and disrespecting your parents. Some of you hate your parents for no reason. And you're breaking God's commandment. Second, accept the fact that there is a punishment, there is a penalty for your sin. By the way, I just named 5 of the 10 commandments. Should I go on? How about your adultery? Messing with somebody you're not married to. Somebody else's wife. Somebody else's husband. Or lusting in your heart for them. That's adultery too, according to Jesus. You're breaking the commandments of God. And you have broken the commandments of God. That makes you a sinner just like me. Just like the Pope, just like the Dalai Lama, just like even Joel Osteen, who we found out this past week, they have so much money, they got money in their walls behind the toilet. These things, in the words of James, ought not so to be, but be that as it may, he still has a reputation of a very nice man, but he's a sinner. He is a sinner. We all are sinners. We're all in the same boat. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin, always. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Think about right now getting saved today. Saved from what? Saved from hell. The wages of sin is death. In other words, not only have you had family members to die, you're going to die because of your own sin, your sinful nature, and your sinful choices. And the payment for your sins at the end of your life is death. You will cease to exist on this beautiful ball called Earth. And it is amazing. And you will go straight to hell, into the darkness and into the flames and into the torment and into the burning of hell. From the beautiful airy earth with the beautiful blue sky and the green grass and the beautiful trees and plants and fruits and vegetables and water galore, cold water, pure water, crystal clear water, and wine and juice and food to eat of all kinds, you will go to the torments and the darkness and the pain of hell. As soon as you die, the Bible says, the rich man lifted up his eyes in the torments of hell. And God told me to tell you, and I'm going to keep on telling you what God told me to tell you until you repent of your sins and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God told me to tell you, my dear friend, that if he will allow you to die from this beautiful place called Earth, yes, with all of her sin and evil that you have caused and I have caused and we all have caused, we're the ones who messed up God's Earth. God didn't mess it up. It's still rolling right along. And you're going to realize how beautiful this place is when you die and go to the darkness of hell and to the fires of hell. But God told me to tell you in no uncertain terms that if he will allow you to die from this beautiful place called Earth, he will allow you to go to hell. Now notice I use the word allow. God does not put you in hell. Don't blame God for that. God did not make your life hellacious on earth. You did. Because you loved, as Jesus said, you loved darkness rather than light. You did not want to follow God and Jesus. You wanted to do what I used to do before I got saved. Jam, jam, boogie, boogie. Don't even go to the club until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, until it closed down at sunlight, at first sunlight. You wanted to continue to do what I used to do, commit fornication and commit adultery and lying and stealing and robbing and not honoring God, hated church and didn't want to go to church and all of that. Death is real. God just said God said in his word, and you just heard it, the wages of sin is death. That's true, isn't it? You know that's true not only from the Bible, but you know that's true from your own experience. You have friends who are dead. You have family members who are dead. And you know that you're going to die, just like them. And God said in his word, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So death is real. Why not accept the fact that hell is real? You must understand, if you live the life you want to live and not the life that God wants you to live, believing in his son Jesus Christ and following him, you will go to hell to pay for your sins. And you will be there forever. Don't believe any other preacher otherwise. And you will be tormented in hell forever. Because Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. If you believe in him, you're good to go. And that is to go to heaven. You don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. with the evidence of your following him and obeying him, because he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then you're going to spend eternity in hell. By the way, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than all of the prophets, all of the apostles, all of the people who wrote, who were used by God to write in the Bible. Jesus Christ said in Mark 9:43, in one of his major sermons on hell, he preached a whole lot on hell. 9:43-48, he said, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Do you think Jesus Christ is playing here? You think he's making up something for some reason? Why would he do that? Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And then Jesus said, if thine eye offend thee, or causes you to sin, lusting after that beautiful woman, or lusting after that man, or lusting after the shiny things that men create, pluck it out. Jesus said, it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now that's one of the messages that Jesus Christ preached on hell. I share it with you because it shows you how bad hell is. That's very bad. When Jesus says, it'd be better for you to cut off the hand that he made, cut off the foot that he made, cut off the eye that he made for you to see, than to go to hell. Now that's a bad place to go. You don't want to go there. Yeah. As he said, it's better for you to go to heaven crippled, on crutches, in a wheelchair. You'll be happier and you'll be better off going to heaven as a crippled person or a maimed person than to go to hell with both feet, both hands, and both eyes. And these things are very valuable to us, aren't they? Some people would rather die than to have those things cut off or taken from them. Hell is a very real place, is the point. Hell is a terrible place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is bad news. But I do have some good news for you, provided by none other than Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who preached the gospel first and best, and nobody can top him, when he preached the most important words ever said to mankind in the history of the world. When Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish where? In hell, but have everlasting life. So do you want to be saved from hell and have everlasting life? That is the question. Well, then all you have to do is believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that simple. It is shockingly simple, isn't it? This means that you don't have to go to church all of your life to get saved. There's nothing wrong with going to church, but it's not going to save you, is the point. You see, I'm preaching the gospel every day of my life because He saved me. I'm not doing this to get saved. I'm not trying to get any brownie points with God. I got all the brownie points I needed when Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. I believed His gospel. I'm not trying to get any extra stars or anything like that. I'm preaching today freely because Jesus Christ already saved me. You don't have to therefore speak in some unknown tongue to get saved. You don't have to get on a mourner's bench and have people spitting in your ear, say Jesus, say Jesus, say Jesus 10,000 times. I said Jesus at least over 1,000 times and I did not get saved. Because He commanded us not to pray like that in the first place. But the people were ignorant of that back in those days. They don't like my saying that, but it's true. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You get baptized after you get saved as an evidence, an outward evidence of your transformation that took place on the inside when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to give money to the church. Most churches would make you think that way today. Even the lady who's inside and outside of the church said recently that she's so disappointed that the church is all about money today. You don't have to give a dime to get saved. You don't have enough money for this salvation, my dear friend. You don't have enough money. You will never make enough money. Jeff Bezos does not have enough money to buy this salvation, nor does Elon Musk. Nor do you have to work to get saved in the church. You don't have enough time to work for this salvation. It is beyond any amount of money or volunteering and working for it. The Bible says it is not by works of righteousness that we have done that saves us. We get saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. He paid it all. He did it all. That's why He said it when He died, He said it is finished. And He gave up the ghost. He gave up His spirit. Nobody killed Him but our sin. He died for our sin, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God, proving that He is God further. Because this is the same Jesus Christ. Even in this month we recognize it, and people are already singing the hymns about His virgin birth. He was born of a virgin, a woman who never had sex with a man. He's the only one to come into the world that way. So His blood was sinless. He never committed a sin. Even though He was tempted as we are, He never committed a sin in word, thought, or deed. He had holy blood running through His veins, God's blood, if you will. And then He voluntarily chose to suffer, to bleed, and to die on a cruel cross for your sins and for mine. To pay your sin debt that you owe Him, you owe God. That's why the songwriter said He paid it all to Him we owe. So just be thankful. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. Believe in your heart. Just do what Jesus told you to do. By the way, the John 3:16 verse was spoken by none other than Jesus Christ. Nobody else. For God so loved the world. Are you in this world? So God loves you. Well, but I did this. God loves you. But I murdered somebody. God loves you. But I killed somebody. God loves you. I committed adultery. God loves you. I committed fornication. I had sex with somebody I was not married to. God loves you. For God so loved the world, that includes you, that whosoever believeth in him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's how you get saved, by believing in Jesus Christ. He paid it all on the cross. John the Baptist said, he is the Lamb of God that has taken away the sin of the world, your sins and mine, as ugly as they are. This was a monumental task, my friend, to take away the sin of all the world, all of our nasty, wicked, evil ways, done in the black and dark night, thinking that nobody saw us. God knows all about it. And God loved us so much, he gave up his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for our sins. He was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. And all you have to do is believe in him. Call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And I guarantee you, he will save you. If you're sincere, you're not playing games, and many of you are in the house by yourself, some of you are in a watch parties, that's fine. Some of you are with some other folks in your home church, and some of you are going to go to your home church, your larger family, church family, in an hour or so, but you wanted to stop by and be here today. To get your heart prepared to worship the Lord, and now you realize that you need to be saved. And that's just fine. Go ahead on and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And be humble. Be humble enough to admit that when you thought you got saved years ago, and all you got was church membership, or you got wet because you got baptized, but you never understood the gospel just like I didn't. I told you the truth. I humbled myself to tell you the truth. We did all of that, church every Sunday, got baptized at the age of 12, went on the mourner's bench and shouted and everything just to get out of there, lost as I could be, religious, but lost. Humble yourself down and admit that you are lost. You were lost. You did some religious activities, but you are not saved, and you need to get saved today. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on his name and ask him to come into your heart today. Romans 10:9 and verse 13, and here are the verses that moved me to get saved. They were just so plain and clear when I saw them in the Bible for the first time, December the 19th, 1979, the Bible reads that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. That's all you need to do, my dear friend, to get saved. You don't see church membership. You don't see you must pay some money. You don't see the church asking you for your tax returns and so forth so they can determine your tithe and all of that. You don't see doing a whole lot of work for the church or singing in the choir or preaching or anything. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must understand, anything more than that is offensive to God and offensive to Jesus. If you try to add anything to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and resurrection is an affront to him. So don't add anything to it. Don't try to take anything from it. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask Him to save you, trusting in Him and Him alone. Not your good works, not your church membership, not being on the mourner's bench repeating Jesus' name over and over again, not when you got baptized at the age of 12, not when you got confirmed in the church or somebody sprinkled some water on your head and all of that right there. None of that can save you. None of that has anything to do with your salvation. It has to be Jesus and Jesus alone. You must believe in Him in sincerity in your heart and pray a little prayer and ask Him to come into your heart to save your soul. It is as simple as that. I am a living witness. So, dear friend, as you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time, in a sincere way, let's pray. Let's call on the name of the Lord and ask Him to save you. And let this be your day that you can remember, as I can remember, December the 19th, 1979, and you mark this date, and you remember it as the day of your salvation. What a wonderful thing to get saved around Christmas time, as I did. So repeat after me in prayer, just like I did that night, December the 19th, 1979, when Michael Lewis led me in prayer. I'm going to lead you in prayer because you've never prayed this prayer before, the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray together. Holy Father God, I acknowledge and I admit that I am a sinner because I have broken your Ten Commandments and more. I am guilty and I deserve to go to hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lamb of God who took away the sins for the entire world. Jews and Gentiles. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul from the hell that I deserve. And please give me a home in heaven, the place that I do not deserve. For I believe in you. I believe that you suffered, you bled, and you died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. And help me to turn away from my evil and wicked life. To follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you believed in your heart, as the Bible says, in the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior, that He suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God, allow me, and you pray that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart. Allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart as your Lord and Savior today, please email us right now and let us know so that we can rejoice with you and so that we can send you some free material to grow in the faith. And you can email me directly at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or whatever email that is on your platform. Also, if you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well at any time, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop.